The Belldozer is now a Dallas Cowboy.
Like, he is, he's the number one punchline in this post-Rocky Kalmus world of no what doubt. Sooner we're going to go get.
Only because his name's the Belldozer, right?
The Belldozer. Boy, did Brent love the Belldozer.
Who didn't love the Belldozer? It was so stupid. It was just such a ridiculous name. And it was all because he was a 6'7". He never looked like a quarterback. He always looked like a tight end.
Right.
And, you know, he was fine. That team was, that was the pre-Lincoln Riley era. And they were fine and had some good years and good games and all that. But he was always miscast, I think, at quarterback. And
yeah.
He's got a huge, huge frame. I mean, he's a 6'5", 6'6", dude. And, you know, I think as the season went on last year with the Chiefs, he finally found his footing. And if you watch the playoffs, you saw that they involved him not quite a bit, but it wasn't like he was just on the field for no reason at all.
No, he's got a purpose, and it'll be interesting to see what that purpose will be with the Cowboys this year. But you're right. Last year, his only year in Kansas City, he played roughly 30 snaps a game, 25, and that's a lot. That's, you know, that's about 500 over the course of the year if you include the playoff games. And for a tight end, that's a lot more than you might expect. Just to give you something to compare that to last year for the Cowboys, I would imagine, in fact, I should just look this up while I have the chance, but I know Witten's well above that. I wonder how far Blake Jarwin was above that. Let's take a look. Okay, here you go. He played more snaps last year than Blake Jarwin.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. So here is what Blake Bell brings you from that position. It's a lot of what, you know, the reason they love Jason Witten, and you've talked about this, we talked about it forever, is that Jason Witten, he never had to go off the field because whatever you needed out of that position, whatever that position called for, he could do it all. He obviously was a great pass catcher. He obviously was a guy that could move the change. In his prime, he was stretching the field, but he also could stay in there and supply. He could set the edge. He could do whatever you required of him as far as run blocking went, or blocking in general went. And that was the beauty of Jason Witten. And that's the reason Jason Witten is still in the league, because he is still competent at doing all of those things, albeit not at the same level that he was 5, 6, 7 years ago, but it's still there. And now with Blake Jarwin, I think that that's one thing that they're still not sure of, what he can provide.
Right.
Can Blake Jarwin do all these things? Probably not. And so you need a handful of guys in there. I don't know what this says about the rest of the guys on the roster tight end-wise. Probably not a good thing. Who's left? Who's Dalton Schultz and...
Dalton Schultz and of course, Jarwin. And that's pretty much... I'm trying to think of the whole group right now off the top of my head. But let me make sure I have this
right.
So
they kept three on the roster last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, once they retired of Rico. I think Rico gathers. I also see on the edge of the roster is a young man I have not heard just a whole lot about, but I know the Cowboys had him on the practice squad last year. His name is Cole Hicatini, which that sounds like a made up name, but
sounds
it's
like a
not.
Ribby name, doesn't it?
yeah, from Louisville. So you know, if I were to guess Blake Bell's role, it would be in those situations where you either go 12 personnel and Bell stays in to pass protect.
Yeah.
Or you want a multiple look, right? You want to put, you know, players out there where this play could be either run or pass. And of course, when it's pass only, it's Jarwin and 11 personnel and three wides and you're cooking. Blake Bell should be more of a first and second down balanced offense type guy, and obviously you don't want Jarwin out there in some of those looks because he's much better as essentially a wide receiver.
So I asked our buddy Bobby Stroop, who runs APEC over in Fort Worth and out in Tyler, and Bobby, of course, is Pat Mahomes' guy. That's his trainer, and he's worked with him since he was 14 years old. So I asked Bobby to ask Pat about Blake Bell, what his best qualities are as a tight end. Bobby sent him a note, and he sent one back, and he says Pat likes him, says he can really do it all. Obviously not as dynamic as Kelsey, but he's really smart, plays the position like a quarterback. So from a quarterback perspective, I guess, that's always a good thing to have a guy that you're dealing with that kind of has a feel for what you're looking for.
Right.
If that makes any sense. So, yeah. I mean, look, again, all these signings, whether it's Poe, whether it is McCoy to a certain level, whether it's Clinton Dix to a certain level, all these guys, there's a reason that they're available right now, right? And there's a reason that you're signing them all to one-year deals, except for McCoy, who's got the three-year deal, but still, that could probably also be a one-year deal.
And don't miss sight of the fact that the players want the one-year deal as well, because if they don't get the number they want on a bigger deal, then they want to go back into the market next year because they believe that this year they're going to be good in their role, and maybe with, you know, the cap going up and you know, just the way the sports calendar goes. I mean, heck, they can't even take visits right now. So imagine being a free agent, whether it is Dontari Poe or Gerald McCoy or HaHa Clinton Dix or Blake Bell. I mean, imagine any of these guys. They had plans, and some of them were tripped up by football. Some of them were tripped up by this once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And so you are going to find a lot of really unique situations in 2020 that didn't really happen the last couple of years and probably won't happen the next couple of years. And so the teams might find some real value, but it might be in the sense of just one-year prove-it deals for a lot of these guys to get back into the market next year.
Yeah, I didn't think of it, the one-year deal working for the player. That's a good way to put it, interesting way to put it. The rumor mill is flying around out there at the Star right now that maybe the big guy is going to get a deal done here in the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I've really seen is a fantasy football person on Twitter throwing it out there.
And
but of course,
she misspelled his name. She called him Dad.
Yes. I'm going to
is that
cut
auto-correct?
Her some slack. Yeah, I think it's autocorrect. I'm at least going to cut her some slack that every time, if your phone isn't used to typing DAC, it will try to fix it to something else. Now, I don't know that it will always fix it to DAX, but hey, whatever. But I'll at least cut her some slack there. What's her name, Ty? Do you know who's doing that report?
Last name Loza, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Anyway,
Loza or something?
Loza.
Anyway, if you're going to throw that out there today, It almost seems to at least have some believability just because the case has gone cold again over the last week or two since the franchise tag went on, and you are, you know, you're not anticipating it, right? And that's how these deals get done, I suppose, is when the noise on the outside subsides and the two parties say, okay, let's just get this over with. We're all sitting in our houses. What's the holdup here? What's the tough guy act? You know, what's your number that you need? Okay, here's the number we need, and let's try to hit a middle so that we can move on with our lives. Dak can feel good about the money that instantly goes in his bank, and the Cowboys can feel good that they don't have this hanging over them anymore. So I just don't really see a long-term advantage for either party to let this drag even further, but on the other hand, Corby, I've been saying this for over a year by now. Liz Loza, apparently, is her name. And apparently she makes her business in fantasy football somehow. So good on her. If fantasy football isn't able to sustain a career, then more power to you.
Can you imagine? Like, he's got, obviously, Dak's got tons of dough just from the endorsements. And, you know, he's not broke from the Cowboy deal either that he signed.
Right.
As a rookie, but still, like, just sitting there knowing that you're about to have, let's say, $150 million thrown your way with, I don't know, 120 of it guaranteed, whatever it is, that is getting ready to be your life. How weird of a feeling that must be.
Yeah, and that, I think, explains, you know, how the feelings might get a little worked up from time to time. And I realize we are dealing in society right now where there are much bigger problems. But from his standpoint, I mean, this is his life and it's the only one he'll ever have. You can definitely see how, you know, this is dragged on for 18 months or so, and he feels like he's had to prove himself over and over again, and he sees many, many, many of his colleagues get their deals. And, you know, when I think when Ryan Tannehill goes from a backup quarterback when this process started for Dak a year ago to a, you know, a guy who just got 29.5 a year or whatever it was, well over 100 million and well over, I think, was it 90 million guaranteed or something like that. I would imagine that is a real thorn in the side. Now, again, Tannehill probably was asking for a lot less than Dak, but every time you take the field, man, you're risking your well-being. And so I can kind of see how over the course of time that gets tiresome, that you feel like you're risking it when Ryan Tannehill can, you know, have his leg broken on in week one, and he's going to get a ton of that money. Great proof of that was Alex Smith and the deal he'd signed with the Redskins. And then his leg really did snap badly, and he hasn't returned to the field since. So it's they put a lot on the line, and that's why those guaranteed deals are so important. And that's why we're all amazed that the NFL is the one sport where there isn't guaranteed contracts fully, unlike the NBA and baseball.